This past week, I happened to find myself in one of those big box stores. It was right here in Brampton. You've been in these places. They're huge. And good luck trying to find anything that you want in particular, because you could wander for days up and down those cavernous places. So I tried to find some help. And so I saw a sales representative behind a desk, and I walked up to the sales rep, and just as I was getting there, the phone rang, and he picks up the phone. Doesn't that drive you crazy? I'm standing there right in front of him, and he's talking on the phone, and he holds up his hand to me. Oh, just wait a minute. So I wait there for 2 or 3 minutes, and I said, the heck with this. And I think, I'll go searching somewhere else. So I go down an aisle, and then I find another sales rep. But there's like 2 or 3 people standing in line waiting for him to assist them. I thought, no, this isn't it either. And so then I wander down another aisle. And finally, I see a couple of sales reps. And they're having a conversation, just standing there talking to each other. And I'm standing off to the side, hoping against hope that sometime they're going to notice me standing there. Eventually, they did break off their conversation, and one of them turned to me, clearly annoyed that I had interrupted their conversation. I couldn't help thinking, these employees, perhaps even the management of the store, if it's not dealing with this, has lost track of their point of the existence of their existence, because wasn't I supposed to be the center of their existence? I mean, don't these stores exist in order to serve me, the person who comes in looking for a particular item to buy it? Isn't that the point of it? And when I began to reflect on that experience, I had a kind of a painful thought. It makes me wonder, how are we doing as the church? How are we doing as the church? Reg Bibby has a lot to say about this. Reg Bibby is a sociologist at the University of Lethbridge in Alberta. And he's been writing about the Canadian religious climate for over 20 years. And in his book, Unknown Gods, Bibby says, Canadians are very receptive to ideas of mystery and the supernatural. They yearn for meaning and fulfillment, still identify with their cradle religions. But listen to what he says next. He says, religious groups are failing in what appear to be spiritually prosperous times. You know what he says? That many of our churches are little more than religious clubs. He says we're no longer truly addressing the human yearning to know and experience God, that we've become fixated on survival, serving only our own membership, that we're failing to inspire people with a passion for the experience of Christ. And what he says is this: church attendance will continue to decline into the foreseeable future because we're missing the point. We're failing to fulfill the core mandate at the heart of our existence, to help people experience the risen Christ. We have some challenges ahead of us. When I think about my first inspiration to ministry, it arose out of my desire to nurture and encourage spiritual growth in myself and others, to delve into the spiritual mysteries of God and the universe. However, over the years, I've come to realize and experience within my own life and ministry that it's possible to overly invest ourselves in religious institutions to the neglect of our spiritual well-being. I mean, managing, administering the church locally, nationally, sit on national committees, sit on committees, come to committee meetings here. You know, it can become a full-time preoccupation. Rules and regulations, committees, task groups. It kind of feels when I'm doing it, it kind of feels like, yes, I'm working for the kingdom of God. I'm busy. But I wonder sometimes if we perhaps sometimes are missing the point. And we end up like any other corporate structure, and we are concerned with finances and numbers and survival and growth. Is it possible to risk the danger of losing God in the midst of this complex game of institutional survival, falling prey to the temptation to become not ministers, not representatives of Christ, but that we become administrators? And that we're busy working to make the church into a smooth running, well oiled machine. Is it possible we miss the opportunity to help people discover and experience God because we're too busy with church business and not pointing beyond ourselves? Not pointing beyond ourselves to the deep and wonderful mysteries of God. Now, of course, we do have to maintain our churches. We do need some rules and regulations helping us to work together effectively to minister and to do the mission of God. But we need to remember why we're doing what we do. We need to be constantly asking ourselves, is this working? We need to be constantly saying to ourselves, what do we need to hang on to and what do we need to let go of? Are we encouraging life in the Spirit? That's what we have to be asking ourselves. Are we encouraging life in the Spirit, or have we missed the point? I love our Old Testament reading this morning that Shauna read for us. God has Abraham on the move. Here's this 75-year-old man when he's packing up the fine china, taking the books off the shelves and loading them into boxes, putting moving blankets around the couch and the dining room table, throwing it all on a camel. And the most amazing thing is God says to him, okay, this is what I need you to do, Abraham. I'm 75. I need you to move to a new land and start something completely new. And Abraham says, okay. Abraham says yes to the new thing God is doing in his life. And in the gospel reading, we read the story of Nicodemus the Pharisee, and he's meeting secretly with Jesus late one night. And Nicodemus is looking for something new. Perhaps he's disillusioned, dissatisfied with the religion burdened with rules and regulations and judgments. Does he sense that his institution of religion has lost touch with the life-giving experience of God? He was a Pharisee. He knew the prescribed regulations concerning his rights and responsibilities as a member of the Jewish faith. But I think he's saying to himself, it's not working anymore. Not enough. All of it he upheld, and yet he's restless, dissatisfied with life. He's looking for something beyond the politics and intrigue of the religion game. He is seeking life in the Spirit. And Jesus encourages him. He says, can you look beyond it all? He says, Nicodemus, you must be born anew. You must be born from above. Be born of the Spirit. Let yourself be carried away by the winds of the Spirit. So the date on the calendar now is 2011. But the struggle and the temptations are very similar. It could be 1800 BC or 30 AD. Can we look beyond the institution? Do we have the courage to give ourselves over to life in the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, brooding over our society and our religious institutions and our congregations and our very lives, and ask ourselves, is God wanting to do something new here? There comes a time for all of us when we sense a certain dissatisfaction about our life. Faithful people, church-going people, people who sit on committees, teach Sunday school, and yet still something's missing. It's like when you go to the refrigerator at midnight and you're standing in front of the refrigerator and you're thinking, I want something, but I don't quite know what it is that I want. In the midst of the institution of the church and consumerism, we hunger for the living God. We want meaning and purpose, and we're looking Isn't there a part of us that knows Jesus spoke the truth when He said, "What does it profit to gain the whole world but to lose your soul?" Do you remember when you were a child? Or maybe as you watch your own children or grandchildren? And they just seem so inherently spiritual. I know they can talk a lot and they can scream and they can cry and all that stuff, but you know, children marvel in the beauty and wonder of the world. A dandelion that springs up overnight to them is a miracle. A summer day stretching out with endless possibilities, like it's going to last forever. Or the snowflakes falling. Do you remember when you were a kid and you'd be in your classroom sometime, maybe November, and somebody'd say, "It's snowing outside." And you'd rush to the window and the earth would begin to be covered in that blanket of silent whiteness. Then we grow up. Oh, look at all those dandelions on the front lawn. Well, we better get out that. Start pulling them out. Summer day? Where's the things to do list? Endless chores, not endless fun. And the snow? Gotta shovel it. Gotta drive in it. Mystery and wonder, they become crushed so easily. God is marginalized. All too soon we begin to shape ourselves and our beliefs to match the expectations and demands of the adult world. I love what Jesus said when He said, "Unless you become like little children, you shall never enter the kingdom of God." We need to be born anew. God is wanting to do something new in our midst. Can we find Christ as a beloved friend and companion who walks with us on this sometimes amazing, sometimes frustrating journey of life? And I'm not talking about the Christ of mind-boggling theology or the God imprisoned and possessed by the institution of the church. I'm talking about the Christ of the heart. Christ who lives in our hearts. It's hard for us, but maybe we just need to take the plunge. Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard, he called it the leap of faith. The leap into the unknown, it's kind of scary, at least it is for me, to let myself fall into something I cannot comprehend fully with my intellect, something that's bigger than me and inherently spiritual and unknowable. Let me tell you a story. John Fraser was the former European correspondent for the Globe and Mail, and he tells a story about his daughter, Jessie. Seems one morning when Jessie was 4 years old, they found a dead sparrow in front of the living room window. The little bird flew headlong into the glass window. And when Jessie saw the dead bird, she was both deeply intrigued and disturbed. And she asked her father, "Where is the bird now?" And John said, "I don't know." She said, "Why did it die?" And he said, "Well, everything has to return to the earth." And so Jesse said, "Oh, then we have to bury the bird." And so they found a little box and they placed the bird in it and they wrapped the bird carefully in a paper napkin for a shroud. And a few minutes later, this procession was formed with Daddy and Mummy and little sister, and Daddy is carrying the box and Jesse has the homemade cross and a grave is dug and the little sparrow is buried, and John puts a piece of moss over the grave and Jesse puts the cross on the top of the grave, and John says to Jesse, he says, "Do you want to say a prayer?" And Jesse said, "Yes." And she prayed, "Dear God, we have buried this little sparrow. Now you be good to her or I will kill you. Amen." And as they walked home, John said to Jesse, "Why did you say that, threatening God?" And Jesse answered, "I just wasn't sure. I don't know if you can trust that guy." But you know, we laugh, but maybe Jesse's right. I don't know if we can trust that guy.
And that's what scares me, and that's what thrills me, and that's what excites me about growing in the Spirit, about putting my life more and more into the hands of God. We don't know what God has in store for us. We don't know where God wants to take us. But like Abraham, like Nicodemus, it may be that God will shatter all our neat plans and goals in life. Did you read the C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? And in the Chronicles of Narnia, there's the character of Aslan, and he's the lion, and he represents God in those stories. And in this first story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, one of the children asks a question about Aslan, and the question is this: is he safe? And the answer she receives is this: gracious, no, he's not safe at all, but he's good. He's good. God is not safe at all. If we want to be in control and lead a sheltered life according to what we want, stay away from God. Stay away. Don't delve into the mysteries of life in the Spirit. You see, I think we often come to God wanting to fix up some little part of our lives, some nagging emotional pain to be taken away, some bad habit to be cured, some little extra dose of meaning and purpose in life. Maybe we want to be free from the fear of death. And God comes in and maybe fixes up our little difficulty. But then, sometimes God wants to move in and take over completely. God is not satisfied with seeing us patched together with scotch tape and baling wire. God wants to make us over into new women and new men. God wants us to be radically reoriented from life in the world to life in the Spirit. And it's a frightening prospect to give up what I want and to let God give me what I need. What I need to make life into the most glorious adventure of all, to lead us into mysterious and unknown territories of the Spirit. One of my favorite theologians, he passed away a few years ago, was Henry Nouwen. And in one of his books, Henry Nouwen talks about Father George Strohmeyer, the co-founder of the L'Arche Community for the Developmentally Challenged. We have one in Richmond Hill. And Henry Nouwen talks about how he's so amazed by the spiritual health of Father Strohmeyer. And this is what he says. He says, talking to George creates a certain jealousy in me. It seems as if he stands on the other side of the river and calls me to jump in and swim. But I'm afraid. I think I will drown. And yet, I also want to be where he is. He said, I sense the freedom, joy, and peace he's found. Henry says, when George pronounces the name of Christ, you know that he speaks from a deep, intimate encounter. His life has become simpler, more rooted, more trusting, more open, more peaceful. Clear that life in the Spirit is at the center of his being. The fullness of spiritual life, life in Christ, may not be what we expected and planned. May not be safe or profitable as the world measures these things. But is it possible such a life will be exciting and awesome, intriguing, perhaps even a little scary, as we follow the lead of Jesus? Putting our life into the hands of God, trusting God will do more with us. Trusting God will do more with us than we could have ever asked or imagined. Maybe. Maybe that's the point. Let us pray. And now unto God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all praise, honor, and glory, world without end. Amen. Thank you.